Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
During your next break, try and think of another African-American man named Don.
Don King?
Don Cheadle.
Donald Glover.
Donald Timmy.
Donald Sutherland.
Don Flamenco.
Donnie Davis.
Donald Driver.
Don Baylor.
Donnie Hathaway.
Donald Brown. Donnie Sadler.
Don Magic Juan.
Donnie Moore.
My good friend Don Lowry, who used to work for the Patriot.
Don Cornelius.
There are a lot of black guys named Don.
I was hiding my life in stages with 10,000 people watching.
T-Bone's telling me to jump in. Get going. 617-779-0985. Was there a picture element to that on Comcast?
Yeah.
Sorry, NBC Sports Boston.
All the black athletes named Don that Dan didn't know. Unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the finer moments on this show.
Donnie Hathaway was in there, by the way.
He was.
Yep.
He was.
He jumped off a balcony.
Oh, no.
Yes, he did.
Oh, that sucks. That really sucks.
Why is Bert laughing?
I think he's laughing at something else.
I hope
just
so.
I can't help it. Like, we had a...
Bert can see people at Ohio State jumping off balconies.
I don't know if you guys saw, like, the Washington Post story that broke over the course of the last hour that 10 NFL players are being indicted by the Department of Justice for defrauding the NFL's healthcare program of almost $4 million, right?
Which is incredible that this happened to begin with.
Right.
Correct.
But
so
now we've got some names.
So Clinton Portis and Carlos Rogers, some names you've heard are involved. But there's a name that everybody around here may be familiar with that's on the periphery of this that's sort of tangentially involved. And that's Rashe Caldwell. One of the guys I work with tweeted, Rashe Caldwell, the NFL's worst criminal, is back.
He's already been to prison.
Yeah, I know. He was didn't he have like Molly sent to his house? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, he's involved in something.
Yeah.
He was sentenced to 27 months in prison after an epic crime spree. It was short-lived, unfocused, and full of colossal blunders. His 10-month rager included 2 SWAT raids, 4 arrests, a Maxwell House coffee can stuffed with cash.
Where else are you going to keep it?
He faced a litany of charges for running a multi-million dollar gambling house in West Tampa. And then after the operation of that got busted, attempting to import and distribute what he thought was more than 5.5 pounds of pure Molly, MDMA.
Jeez. Wait, so what he thought? So it was something else?
So it sounds like he was in a sting operation where he was sold what he thought was 5.5 pounds of Molly, and it was not.
You said 5 pounds.
5.5 pounds.
Pounds.
Pounds, not ounces. Pounds. 5.5 pounds of pure MDMA.
What's a pound of Molly set you back?
So now he's out of jail.
Well, the thing was, no one knew it at the time, but he was scamming the NFL's healthcare plan for millions of dollars in some sort, you know, like those Medicare scams. Yeah.
Well,
that's what he was doing.
This one, the players were making claims for equipment such as hyperbaric oxygen chambers, cryotherapy machines, ultrasound machines, you know, for pregnancies.
Wait, why do you need an ultrasound machine?
Because you might be pregnant. That's why you're taking the hormone pills, remember?
No, like what healthcare plan do they allow you to buy your own machine?
And electromagnetic therapy devices that actually weren't purchased or received. The typical claim was going between $40,000 and $50,000. So they're putting in claims for these things. Hey, I got the hyperbaric thing. I need $45,000. They send the money and, you know, they never actually bought it.
Wow.
Whoops.
Mm-hmm. Whoops.
I'm surprised Rashe would involve himself in such a scheme.
Well, he's got a history. So it looks like
What are you giggling
at? It looks like Rashe is going to go back to prison.
What is so funny?
It's just like,
you don't find any of that funny?
I find it funny
that they're billing the league for $50,000 devices.
He's over here rolling on the ground.
I just, like, well, because I covered Rashay Caldwell, and I remember like what a.
I remember how stupid he was. That's what Bert's thinking.
That 2006 team was colorful. That 2006 team had a lot of interesting. I mean, that was
06.
Yeah, that was like Corey Dillon. Like that was the year Corey Dillon was in. Like he had retired, but he just hadn't told anybody yet. And so he was like, I mean, he must have been pushing 245, 250. He'd walk in the locker room every day with a big McDonald's bag under his arm. Chad Jackson was on that team. That was a good group.
It's funny. I had plans on mentioning Corey Dillon today. We'll get to that later.
Oh,
so.
Good.
Right. Get to that later. Dana is in Rhode Island today. Dana.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. So I have two quick things. One is football related, then the other is the Donald related thing right there. So just bear with me for a sec. So first of all, regarding football, so why wouldn't the league, why wouldn't they move to perhaps Fine Craft Productions rather than Bill? Because on yesterday's show, Paul Perillo, I thought, gave an excellent interview. He seemed contrite. You know, it was a regrettable situation. And if that's the case, why not find the division that was indeed.
No, you're gonna find the team.
I don't think they have any jurisdiction over Kraft Sports Productions.
No, you find the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I think Dana, a better question to rephrase what you asked would be, why would they find Bill specifically and not just the team in general?
Right.
Which I think is a fair question.
It's possible they just find the team. We've seen individuals fine in these sorts of situations. I don't know one way or the other. I'm just saying it would be something I'm sure that they would discuss because Bill has oversight over all these things.
Can I jump in on the Donald thing? Because in that clip, Beetle, I swear you said Donald Sutherland for black athletes named Don. Can we listen to that clip again?
It's not black athletes. It was black guys.
Just black guy. And so Donald Sutherland.
What did I say?
No.
He said you said Donald Sutherland, whom you could make a case, you know? He's got a little bit of soul.
When he was in Animal House and that sweater and his butt was naked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, really we have to white. Go back and listen. Donald Sutherland is definitely not.
Look pasty white to me.
He is a white?
He's old
Donald
and white.
Donald Sutherland?
He's old and white.
Right. Don King?
Don Cheadle.
Oh, thank you.
Donald Glover.
Donald Driver. Used to play for the Packers.
Yeah.
How did he forget Don Baylor?
These are all be
Donnie Hathaway.
We're going to do this at 1 o'clock hour.
Donald Brown. Used to play for the Patriots. Donnie Sadler. Donnie Moore.
There are a lot of black guys named Don. Donnie Lowry.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cornelius. Host of Soul Train.
Donnie Marshall.
Yes!
Report for the South.
That's right, That's Donnie right. Marshall.
Idiots.
God, Shaughnessy is so stupid.
No.
No, I said Sadler. I think you may have heard Donnie Sadler.
Okay.
No. Over the music. We played it dry that time. So easier to hear. I don't think I said that. But to back to his question, though, Bert, it seems like a team fine. If they investigate fully, they prove that, yep, you just had an idiot working your camera, didn't know the rules. You guys have been careless in not informing your employees that work for you and your production staff about these rules. That's unacceptable. We're going to fine your franchise. If they were to take that another step in knowing that Bill had nothing to do with it and they fined him, that would be reckless on the part of the league.
I can see it both ways. I can see on one end, I can see where like he has oversight over everything, right? Like, and let's face it, like these in-house video crews are in large like these in-house video crews for every team are beholden to the football people, you know, at the end of the day. That said, I totally understand what you're saying is that like for the Patriots, it's like if you find Bill, maybe you're kicking a hornet's nest that doesn't need to be kicked in this situation. So that makes sense to me too. I don't know how they're going to do it, but we've seen in the past where they've picked a person out, and it's usually somebody who's in charge, and they find them individually for something that's happened. I don't know specifically if it's going to happen or not. We've just seen that sort of thing in the past.
Alan's in Pittsburgh. Hey, Alan. Alan, you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Guys.
What's up, man? How you doing, bud?
Good, good. All right, so I just got a quick question that I listened off the air. What are the odds that under the guise of craft services or craft productions or whatever it is, that this guy went in and was videotaping. This has been his job this whole season, is to go in and watch these things. But he just, you know, you do something all the time, you just get used to it, and he just felt like he was invincible, and he just went in with his Bruins jersey.
I don't think it's an invincibility thing. He just, you know, they shoot a ton of stuff. He was told to shoot it, and he shot it.
Yeah.
These guys listen to you. Now, if you trust a guy, like, you know, when you travel with CBS and they're full-time guys, mm-hmm. like, they'll send them out to community, get us B-roll. We need some beauty shots, this and that. Or the ones that currently are full-time with the Patriots that are there, you know, filming their sideline for all of our shows.
Yeah.
Like, they'll get leeway to, you know, get beauty shots, but they know don't film the other sideline.
Yeah. I think the most plausible explanation is that
this falls on the producer.
The most plausible situation is whoever was the guy that shot this video did not have the proper instructions.
Correct.
Did not know the rules. And again, that's
somebody got lazy.
That's on the Patriots. That's just a lack of institutional control.
617-779-0985. Eric is in Burlington. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hey guys.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, good. Hey, happy holidays. So, a couple things. Beetle, you definitely did say Donald Sutherland. And I think one of the reasons why they've come down on Belichick is because...
We just replayed it. Wait a minute. We just replayed it, Eric.
Well, I wasn't really paying. All right. Anyways, I heard the same thing, too. I think they would come down on Belichick because, you know, once that footage makes it back to Gillette, I mean, the only person that's really going to benefit from it is Belichick, right? So, I mean, I think that's the reason why they're kind of focusing there. But what I really wanted to talk about was the rule changes that I hope the NFL makes, because I think one thing that would be beneficial is I think on a play, if there's a penalty and the natural continuation of the play, actually the guy makes it to the end zone, I think the whole play should be reviewed. You know, and so...
you got a little Derek and Foxborough in you. You know that?
Huh?
Tiny bit.
You sound a little bit like Derek and Foxborough.
Oh, do I? Oh, you must be a handsome guy. But sure speaking of that, you know, Zoe, you actually look a lot like my friend Donnie. I wish you guys would kind of meet each other at one point.
That'd be a fun night.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that would be a really good time.
Look at you looking at me. Is it black guy?
We got an unfortunate thing to tell you, Hardy.
Oh, no.
You were in the song saying Donald Sutherland. He's right.
Donald Sutherland.
Dummy.
And there was a Donald Sutherland in there. It was Hardy.
Wow.
Sorry to do that to you, Hardy.
I'm just looking up, and if there's any other Donald Sutherland I could have been thinking of just in the world, there's got to be a black guy named Donald Sutherland somewhere. I'll find him. And that's who I was talking about.
Sure. Well, you find out who he is and figure that out for us.
You do that.
Go for it. Bert Prier is with us. We've got more to get to with Bert, including some items on the future of a Patriots coach and the future of Nick Caserio. A couple of things that have come up this week. We'll do that coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nice.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, when you for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
Where'd you meet the guy at?
I met a man who lives in Tennessee.
Where was he heading?
And he was heading for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, PA! No, nobody's eating pumpkin pie for Christmas.
Pennsylvania folks are traveling.
Bert Prier is with us
south.
Here on Zolak and Bertrand at 11:20. Make sure you get to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Also, download the Sports Hub app. That's where you get all of our podcasts. You can listen to every hour of the show, or you can listen to it in a nutshell.
Oh, look Wrapped at you, up. Nutshell.
Yes.
Hello, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Call
Paul McCartney.
The best of, or the nutshell, whatever you want to call it.
I like the best
of. But it's all available on our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Get the app. Stream us through that app. Tap the app.
Smack that thing.
Tap that app. Bert Breer, as I mentioned, is with us from the MMQB. A couple of news items from over the weekend. Actually, three news items in all. Nick Caserio is, according to the Boston Globe and Ben Volen, will be pursuing opportunities elsewhere once he hits free agency this coming spring.
How hard is that to do late spring, though, you know?
It is.
It's almost like you miss a whole year of whatever team you're going to. Yeah, but go ahead.
So I would say, number one, how real is that? And are the odds that he leaves or stays in your estimation? And then we'll get to the coaching things in a second. But first, Nick Caserio.
With Nick, I would not close the door on him going to Houston. Just based on what I know, if he wanted to go there, I think there'd be a spot there for him. I know it's been out there and that they're not hiring a GM. And I don't think they necessarily will in January. But I do see a potential situation where, you know, if they have a good finish to the season and, like, the owner feels good about where Bill O'Brien's got the program, I could certainly see where we get to May and those two talk. And I don't think O'Brien would say no to the idea of Nick Caserio coming in as the general manager. In fact, I think he'd be okay with it to the point where he may be willing to give up a little power to have Nick come in. And then the other one I'd watch with Nick would be Carolina. But so much of that's going to depend on what the owner, David Tepper, wants to do with the way this whole thing is set up. You know, and like, so they're going to hire a new personnel guy who, at least on paper right now, is going to be underneath the sitting general manager, Marty Herney. But I also know that, like, Tepper, and I talked to him about this yesterday, I know that Tepper is going to be is being flexible about what he's looking for, so in an effort to try to get the best people in the building. And so if he thinks somebody like Nick Caserio is available, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they moved some pieces around to make it work for Nick. Because I do think Tepper has a little bit of a fascination with the way the Patriots do business.
So Carolina's an option. The Houston Texans would still be an option. I know the Giants have been brought up as an option. Mm-hmm. The Houston one makes the most sense because they've already got a staff in place that sort of handles this stuff.
Right.
They can get through the draft without needing Nick Caserio.
Here's why the Houston.
Can Carolina?
Here's why the Houston. Yeah, and that's the thing. So here's the thing about, well, the other thing that makes sense about the Houston situation. Nick loves his job the way it's set up. Zoe, you probably know this. You've seen it. Like, Nick loves the fact that he can, like, be a quasi-coach.
Yeah,
like,
work with players. Yeah.
He really likes that.
And he loves sitting in an office all day.
And he can be in the headset, right, like on game day.
Oh, yeah, he's up in a booth.
He's in Josh's ear on game day. And if you're Nick Caserio and you want to be a GM, like, most other places, that would be really weird, wouldn't it? Like, for the GM to be on the headset?
Yeah, because you're looking for them to come in and build your program. You be the guy that picks the players that scouts them, but yet, you know, he's worked in conjunction with Bill, and there's that comfort level now of the whole game day operation. Like, he warms up with the team.
That's what I'm saying.
I've never seen anything like that.
That's what I'm saying is, like, so Nick, like, has this unique job here. How can you recreate it somewhere else? Well, I think the only way you can recreate it somewhere else is if you have a head coach who's comfortable with that. And this is a rare opportunity where there'd be a head coach there who would probably be comfortable with it, because that's the way it was between Billy and Nick from 2009 to 2011. And so my feeling is that Houston would still appeal to Nick for that reason. You know, look, like, I think a lot of this is going to depend on, you know, what the next month and a half looks like there, and do they win the division? The Titans have actually caught them in the standings now, and so
it's a big game in 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's a game this Sunday.
They play twice in three weeks.
Yeah. So it's that part of it's going to be interesting, because I think there is some reason why that would appeal to Nick. And like you said, Beetle, the fact that they've got it set up now where they can get to May without really needing him is a plus too.
There's also Josh McDaniels, who, according to that same story, is going to aggressively pursue coaching jobs again.
Yeah.
Hearing anything on that?
Josh was this way 2 years ago. Josh was this way last year, too. I think if Josh had been offered the job in Cleveland or had been offered the job in Green Bay, he'd be gone right now.
Can't believe it. Cleveland didn't go after him.
Yeah, and that's the one that's perplexing to me. If things come undone in Cleveland, I would not be surprised if Jimmy Haslam sort of takes control there and says, I want to go get Josh McDaniels. That wouldn't shock me. Because he's been that guy before. He let Dorsey run the process last year, which I think steered them away from Josh. Josh did, of course, interview in Green Bay. I think part of the issue in both of those places is the history kind of affected it, where I don't know either, like, either team was looking for a powerful head coach. And I think that there was, both Green Bay and Cleveland might have been a little leery about the idea that Josh might come in there and try to take things over, which is a weird thing, I think, to be concerned about to begin with, because the head coach is sort of the face of the football operation, but that's another story. So I think Josh is going to basically approach this offseason the way he's approached the last two offseasons, which is, like, aggressively looking for opportunities. And he's, to me, the one that I've heard him connected to for the last 2 years is the Carolina Panthers. And so Cleveland, I would keep an eye on if they make a change. I don't think they're going to make a change right now. That could change over the next 2 weeks. And then I think the Carolina Panthers would be the other one.
Let's go to back to your calls, but also want to mention this quickly. Brett Bielema is apparently looking at college jobs again.
Is he interviewing somewhere?
Not yet, but it appears that teams are looking at him as a head coach again at the college level.
That's interesting. I mean, he did a good job at Wisconsin. He didn't do a great job at Arkansas.
Normally you say, like, oh, who cares, right? Like, Brett Bielema, defensive line coach. But I feel like they need as many guys
on that side of the ball.
That just,
he's with Bill a lot.
Listen, and
he learned here, too, would be great for the next program.
I know it's stupid, but to say, like, oh, who cares? You know, he's not. I mean, and first of all, he's one of the guys who has coaching experience under his belt. I know that a lot has been made of Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo this year, but Brett Bielema has been a part of that staff, and he's a guy who's been coaching for a while.
Yeah, well,
run a program.
We're losing,
for better or worse.
I think we're losing all these guys hurts you is actually, like, on the individual player development level, right? Like, and you don't feel that for a couple years, but that's what your position coach's job is. Like, your position coach's job is to develop you as an individual player, and that's something that probably Bill's a little less involved in, like, hands-on, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, I think that's something to be concerned about when you look at all the inexperience at the position coach level that the Patriots have now, because that exodus last year, like, that's where you're going to feel it. And if you lose a guy like Bielema, who's an experienced coach, like, that probably takes it to another level.
617-779-0985. A lot of calls on the refs today as well. Also, of course, what has gone on with the Patriots and the videotaping investigation that is ongoing with the league. Roger Goodell saying yesterday that it could be some time before they sort it all out and come to a decision on what should happen. Let's go to, I don't know this name, someone who's in Chelsea.
Brockton from Chelsea. Hey, hey.
Oh, okay.
What's up?
Brockton from Chelsea. Go ahead.
What's going on, boys? Here's what I got to say. I think we got a big issue here. It's the Belichick. He's cheating again. We know what he's doing. The whole league's on to him. Zoe, I think you know what he's doing, too. I think you're a double agent, and I think you know a lot more than you think you know.
I think you sniff glue in that town you live in. I know what he's up to. He tells me. So, but I can't tell you, because me being a secret double agent.
You're a double agent.
Then they got to kill me. Like, if I tell you, then they got to kill me. You know, you guys won't want that.
He's probably the only guy named Brockton who lives in Chelsea, but how many girls named Chelsea do you think
live
in Brockton?
It's a fair question.
Seven.
Yeah, I'd say it's good. That's a good number.
Chelsea was in on Golden Pond. Henry! That's Norman!
Right. That's right.
Dale
Norman.
In New Hampshire.
Happy birthday!
Hi, Norman. Dale.
That's the mother.
Hey,
not Chelsea.
Hey, how we doing?
What's up?
What's up?
First time caller. Hey, listen, I think half the problem with these refs, have you ever played the game of football? Do they even know what they're watching? Do they even know what they're looking for?
You don't have to play the game of football to be a ref. There's guys that coach in this league.
I'd be surprised if a lot of the refs haven't played football at some level in their life.
I would say, A, a lot of them have probably played, and B, you don't need to play in order to officiate the game.
No, I know, but okay.
I understand what you're saying.
I ref high school football. I ref youth sports.
And what did you? I'm sure you played football growing up, right?
Do you want me to get your application to the league?
I played football lacrosse.
All right, then. So you don't think these refs did the same thing?
I don't think a lot of these refs have. But the thing is, when I went to take my boards to be a college football ref, there's no one that could pass them. The only people that were passing these tests were people who never played the game of football before. They read a book. They're good. They read the rules. They never knew what they were looking for.
I would say knowing the rules and being able to recite the rules and pass a test on the rules would be important to doing the job of being an official.
This guy doesn't know any of the rules, But he played high school football.
Let him
Let's
be a ref.
Let him in.
Let's let him in. He knows the game.
He knows what to look for.
Wait, you played at Malden Catholic back in 85? You're hired.
He obviously believes that for some reason that smart people are not playing football, smart people that could pass tests. There are a lot of people that play football that are very smart people and could pass a test. I don't know that Zoe's one of them, but there are a lot of people out there.
Genius. Put your hand
up. Talk to my mother.
Genius.
That's
not
genius.
Genius.
He's a double agent.
Double agent.
Wile E. Coyote. Super genius.
Artie has headlines. More your calls and more with Bert next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Boston's home for sports. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This my girl wants to party all the time, party all the time, party all the time.
Kathleen's in Attleboro. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I'll be really quick.
Sure.
Two things. One, first of all, the kid in the Bruins jacket doing the filming, obviously he wasn't trying to be sneaky if he's sitting there in a Bruins jacket.
He's not a kid.
And my question is, why haven't they talked to him yet? When are we going to hear from him?
Well, I don't think you will hear from them, but the league will speak to him. They may have already. I know, but Roger said what? He's basically had no time yet. He told Judy Batista, I've been down here since the beginning of the meetings all week. I'm sure he'll get, you know, he'll get back to it.
Wait
today.
Till Troy today. Vincent starts digging in.
Yeah, today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, like, they had been, and that's part of it is, like, the scheduling of it. Like, that this broke, what, Monday afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Those guys were all arriving in Dallas and had a full agenda of league matters to handle on Tuesday and Wednesday. Like I said, like if I'm the Patriots, I'm pushing for resolution because I don't want this thing dragging into the weekend.
Yeah, when do we find out who our McNally and Jastrzemski are this time around? Dorito Dink.
Yeah.
Deflator.
Yeah. Who's getting sent to Mount Walsh Island?
now you're poking Patriots fans there, Bert. Now you're striking a nerve.
Walsh Island.
Now Justin is in Worcester. Hi, Justin.
Yeah, I just wanted to like make one point on the refs. I think the refs should call the touchdown whether it is or isn't, just if it looks like one, so that way it can be reviewed. Regardless if it slows down the game, we'd rather have it do that so we don't wake up Monday saying the refs screwed us. I'll hang up and listen.
The guy that screwed it up is a guy at the goal line. His responsibility is to stare at the goal line, and he determines if it's a scoring play or not. The guy coming down the line is looking to see if the guy steps out. He's at about the 15, looking straight down the white. The problem is the guy at the goal line, and this is where Boger screwed up his entire... He couldn't even get the pull report right, talking to Mike Reese. He said, well, I think the problem occurred because the guy that's responsible for the goal signaled touchdown. No, the guy at the goal line never signaled touchdown. He got off his spot, and you could clearly see him pointing to the three.
Yep.
Saying, he's out.
Yep.
The guy coming down the white, oh, wow, it looked like a touchdown from here. And then they get together, and they say, no. The guy at the goal line never first ruled a touchdown, ever. That's where he screwed up. Boger screwed that up, too.
You know what? Like, here's the thing, though. Like, stuff like that's going to happen. I don't mind. Like, it doesn't kill me that something like that could happen in a game. What kills me is there's no mechanism to fix it, right? Because, like, these things, and I try to have sympathy for the officials because I've seen what NFL football looks like at field level. Beetle, you've seen what it looks like at field level. Zoe, you've played it.
Good luck.
Like being able to make heads and tails of anything down there is incredibly difficult. You got to train your eyes to do it. And if you're training your eyes to do it and they're changing the rules on you every year, then it's even more complicated trying to keep track of everything. And that's why I've always said, like, we need to give them help. And that's where my sympathy for the officials comes from, is that I know how difficult it must be to make sense of what's happening down there based on how fast everything's moving. So give them help. You have the technology. Give them help. if the priority is to get it right, there's easy ways to do it because, I mean, me and you and Zoe could sit down and it would take us 10 minutes to come up with a system that would work. 10 minutes. Like we draw it up and like it's just have a guy sitting up there, give him a mic, you know, like give the head referee an earpiece and everything's governed by the play clock. You buzz down.
Hire one guy to sit in the damn truck wherever your 16 events are taking place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Have one guy. Have 16 guys that are available to travel that can sit with the producer in a truck, and he gets 10 different angles immediately. Doesn't even have to go back to New York. Now you're waiting for the feed.
Well, no, and I don't
like instantaneous. We see it right away. We get the truck feed.
And I'll tell you what, like the people, like there are a lot of like teams that have a problem with everything going back to Riveron for reasons beyond just not liking Riveron, which they don't like. A lot of teams don't like Riveron. But like one of the reasons why the teams don't like it is because coaches, players get a feel for how a game's getting called. And now all of a sudden, like, and they study it, right? They study like how this crew calls this, how this crew calls
that. Percentages of holding, percentages of PI.
And then you go through you go through 5 or 10 minutes of the game, like, you know, halfway through the first quarter, you've got a feel for how it's being called. And now all of a sudden you've got this outside force that's interfering in that. And so like it messes with the game flow too. So having somebody on site that has an idea of how the game's being called, that can help too. You know, like it's just, there's simple solutions to this. And I like the way the officials have pushed back on some of this, I have a problem with the way Al Riveron's handled it. I think is a huge, huge issue. And like I said, I'm not huge on calling for people's jobs, but I think he should be gone. Like there's just, this thing has turned so sideways and political and everything else. I don't know why common sense can't prevail here. And like I said, I think that's what Jeffrey Lurie was calling for, was for common sense to prevail.
Noah's in Swansea. Noah.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Noah?
Hey, these guys know how to fix it. You got guys like Al Riveron, Gene Steratore. Them guys got college football assigners. They deal with NCAA rules, all that, every week. They have one replay official at every game, and he buzzes down if something's close. That should have been a touchdown, and it would have been a touchdown if they just had one guy at the field. I mean, the NFL's got the money to put a replay official at every game in the booth. He doesn't even need to be in a truck. He can be right upstairs. Anything close on the sidelines, buzz down. You watch them on Saturdays. Anything close on the sidelines, they all put their hand on their hip.
It'll be hard to put him up in a booth. I'd put him in a truck where he's got 20 TVs.
Wherever you put him, put him somewhere where he has the benefit of the technology. Again, that me and you, Noah, and everybody in America has. Like, we all have the benefit of that technology, yet we're not giving the officials who are screwing these games up that benefit.
Basically,
that makes no sense.
And basically, those, you know, when you watch a game on Saturday, they're using what we basically use. And they say, well, that looks dumb. We got to change that. They buzz down, stop the clock, and then they fix it.
Noah's right. I've seen Big Ten games get officiated that way, and Big Ten officials have had all sorts of issues. But
you have Gene Steratore.
Yeah.
He's an ACC assigner.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry, Noah. I didn't mean to do that. He's right, though. I mean, as much as we critique some of these guys, like they're not total idiots.
Yeah.
They should be able to come up with something better than what we have now.
Right.
As you said, the three of us could get together in 10 minutes and come up with something.
Right. I mean, I just thought of this. Like, do we ever hear about like huge officiating controversies in college?
No. I mean, I can't remember last
year. It has more to do with
they punish those refs pretty strongly, don't they?
In college, it's the targeting rule that gets the most.
It does, yeah.
The most attention,
but that's not an officiating thing. That's about the rule, right? Yeah. So it's like I don't remember the last college game that we came out of where it was like the story of the game was a ref's call because they fixed the calls by the system we're proposing that they put in the NFL.
It's a shame we haven't really like got into depth on that Kansas City game. Because this has been this since day one.
And it's a compelling game between two teams that played in the AFC Championship game last year.
It's a protected game by CBS. How do you not put one of your best crews on it? Because everybody in the country is going to be watching it.
Yeah. The whole thing is just, and again, I'm going to go back. This is what Jeffrey Lurie is talking about. Like, how is anybody okay? How is anybody at the league level? How is anybody with any of these teams okay with the main topic coming out of big games being what the officials did. How is anyone okay
with
that?
How they blew the calls.
Yeah, how is that okay?
They blew it.
And look, it was the same thing with the Dallas game, right? Like the tripping calls in that game. Like that, like the discussion over the like what happened with the officials in that game. And that was another one that was an important game for two like flagship franchises in the NFL. And the talk coming out of that game was the officiating. Like, how is anyone okay with that?
Can't be.
We've got one more segment with Burt Breer. That is coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Haul out the holly. Put up the tree before my spirit falls again. Fill up the stocking. I may be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. For we need a Christmas.
617-779-0985.
I can't stand these families they put up on our TV.
The stock photos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a baby. Yeah, baby looks real happy. Baby's got a big dump in his pants. Oh.
Lovely.
Oh, hey, let's all eat a cookie together. Look at mom's hair. It's perfect. She just rolled out of bed with makeup
on. It's actually a little surprising because I was a huge Christmas guy, isn't it?
Oh, huge Christmas. I'm not a huge fake thing.
Yeah, not a fake family guy.
Is that Gordon? Was that Gordon Hayward in there with his wife? Is her name Penelope?
We got a couple of football calls on the line on the actual team itself that's going to play on the field again on Sunday.
Oh, there's a game?
Against the Cincinnati Bengals. We have not. We have not. Alec in the car wanted to talk about the Patriots receivers. Hey, Alec.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, great transition, Zoe, last segment saying we haven't even talked about the game yet because I don't know if it was like, if everybody felt this way, but I feel like the only time I saw Sanu out there was when he was the first one high-fiving Edelman after the touchdown on the flea flicker.
Right.
Like third down, like why is he not out there? Like the dude's a freaking eater. I don't understand why you wouldn't, even like third and short goal line situations, send him out wide.
You know what's interesting?
In motion.
You know what's interesting? What's the first two times Brady went to him, he hit him. He almost hit him on a fade stop on the right, then he hit him on an in cut to the left. It was against zone. So I wonder if they look at it. If we got a third down and we're a man, and if he can't cut on his ankle, then he's not going to run away from anybody.
It's so, got to be an injury thing.
I think he's banged
it
up.
It has to be.
I think he's banged up, and he can't cut one way off the leg.
Would you play him this weekend?
I almost switched my take from earlier in the week where I say I would rest him. Because now Edelman is banged up with shoulder and knee.
Yeah.
So
I would rather sit Julian.
I don't think you're going to rest both.
You're not resting both. So Sanu might have to suck it up this weekend because that's the guy you really need.
I mean, I almost think like, but wouldn't there be a benefit? Because it is the Bengals, and I think they're going to win going away no matter what. Like, wouldn't there be some level of benefit in sitting both of them and getting the rookies?
No, the benefit would be there. The question is, can they get by without them both? And based on what Sanu has given the team, if you're going to rest Edelman, how much more damaging is it to rest Sanu with him?
I mean, I just think
Sanu hasn't really given them much here in recent weeks.
But I think
what are you really losing?
Did you guys watch Emmanuel Sanders on Sunday?
Don't bring that up. Because you know why? At the time, everyone thought Emmanuel Sanders was dealing with a knee, and I now think it was bull crap. I think he was playing that up so he didn't have to play in Denver. I think there's John Elway's issue with him. So it's hard. It's hard to go back in time, but they clearly did not get the best of the receivers. They also didn't overpay for Mohamed Sanu. There are two teams that wanted him.
No,
the market
I agree.
Dictates what you're going to pay.
San Fran wanted him.
Right.
No, they did. Yeah, San Fran was in on him, no question.
I keep hearing that still getting brought up. Oh, such an overpayment. The market is the market.
The market was the market.
When there's multiple teams going after a player, you're going to pay a price.
There were a handful of teams. Green Bay was involved. There were a handful of teams that were involved with both receivers, which drove the market, which is just what you're dealing with.
Plus, Bert, I'm not writing off Mohamed Sanu for next year.
No, I'm not.
So let's wait till the end of this.
I mean, I think he could be productive in the playoffs. Like, that's what you brought him here for. You didn't bring him here to...
I think he's going to be far more productive when you get a full year of off-season of coaching with him. And... well, who knows who the quarterback will be next year, but you know what I mean.
You didn't bring him in here for December 15th against the Bengals. You brought him in here for January, and you hope you can get him up to speed by then. But I'm saying if you rest both, don't you guys think there's some benefit to getting reps for Harry, for getting reps for Myers?
No, not for Myers. Healthy. For Harry, yes.
But getting those guys work.
For N'Keal Harry, absolutely. Myers, I think Myers is what he is. I don't think you're going to get much more from that guy.
I like him.
You do?
Yeah, I like him.
What do you like about him?
I think he's your type of player.
Just a possession guy.
He's tough. He's
in what
tough.
Sense?
He's smart.
Because usually they like guys that have sure hands. Usually they like guys that can secure the football catch it off the shoulder pad not drop it because it's raining or any of those things.
You had the drop issue last week, no question about it. He's a rookie, and I think you have to let him fight through some of those things. And I understand where Brady might lose some trust in him, but I do think like he's more of your type of receiver than Harry is. Harry can
be, that I would agree with the style. Yeah. Stylistically, yes.
Yeah. And I think there's something there. I know the other thing you notice is Brady hasn't shut him out.
I bet you money that there isn't. I really will. We can make a real wager off the air. I'll bet you money.
You think he's on the team next year?
It's funny you bring that up.
Yeah, Miles will be on the team.
I said if he's still on the team with a real role next year, then they did not have a good offseason.
Wow, that's strong.
That's how I feel.
Although I guess,
can only say what I feel.
There won't be very many jobs available because Harry's in the team next year, Edelman's in the team next year, Sanu's in the team next year. So that's three, right? So like,
and they should spend some draft capital on trying to find better players.
Yeah,
at the position,
they might get a little nudge from a guy who throws the ball to those guys.
If they're going to keep that guy who throws the ball and he wants to remain here, then And I don't mean first-round picks like N'Keal Harry. I don't need that. But second, third, fourth round. Start taking some shots there and see what you can find.
I don't want to get into draft talk too early.
You keep striking out.
But this is supposed
to be... Who's this kid from Utah State?
This is supposed to be like a...
stacked receiver draft.
Generational year for receivers.
And Bert... This past year was really good.
Yeah.
This draft right now with all the rookies, though, we've gone over that list.
Debo Samuel.
Rookies are producing at that position.
Yeah. Yeah.
N'Keal Harry was the second highest drafted receiver in the draft. Yep. He is not producing for them.
Yeah.
Missed a lot of time due to the injury. Yep.
And I mean, like, if your intention with Harry was to get a big outside, like, guy who can get down the field and who can make play, like, Metcalf, there could be a second guess there that Metcalf. Now, Metcalf, I don't think is a good enough route runner.
Right.
Like for what
I don't think he would have been a good fit here.
I think it would have been a tough fit from that standpoint, but I don't know that Harry's a great in that area either.
Not sure. Who are you asking about?
The quarterback from Utah State. I thought
Jordan Love.
Is this kid good?
He
declared early. That means he's top 10 pick.
He has a lot. He has a lot of physical ability. He had a really bad year.
Then why would you come out?
He had a great sophomore year. He came back. They had a coaching change. Utah State's coach went to Texas Tech.
So you're probably just done with the coach.
And he was looking at it. And I think for him, the decision came down to, okay, do I transfer to like Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Or
Jalen Hurts.
Do I do something like that? The problem with doing that would be then he'd be in the class with Trevor Lawrence and with Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And so like he may feel like, well, if I do a good job, this year's quarterback class is flawed. And if I can prove that really it was coaching that held me back this year, I might have a chance to rise through the process where next year you're probably blocked by a couple of those guys at the top.
Mm. All right, Bert, appreciate you being in here today.
Thanks, Bert.
All right, thanks, guys.
You were able to get the stroller back home this morning. That's important.
She's got it.
Yep, good.
Shout out to Emily.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bert Breer of the MMQB with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. The noontime hour is here. Hardy has your headlines. I have a random thing that I want to get to, if you mind, Zo, about Bill Belichick. It's
sure.
sort of
Love
random
stuff.
It's about something that he talked about multiple times this week. And I don't know why, but it's annoying me. It's the Bengals, and it's about his love of Mike Brown. We'll do that coming up in 90 seconds. Alec in the car wanted to talk about the Patriots receivers. Hey, Alec.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up, guys?
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.